This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the first weekly Saskatchewan Crop Report is out. We will hear from Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers on how spring seeding is going so far in the province. Saskatchewan's Agriculture Minister is happy to see that seeding is well underway, and we'll hear from him as well as about the Saskatchewan Agriculture Scholarship recipients that were announced today. We will have all the winners from that. Yesterday, the federal government announced it will more than double the Youth Employment and Skills Program to $21.4 million, which will fund about 2,000 jobs for youth in the agriculture sector. We will hear from Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau, as well as Ryan Casco, who is the general manager of a family-owned cattle feedlot and irrigated farm at Coaldale near Lethbridge, and he hired two young women during last year's program. And of course, our first week of GX94 Supper in the Field went out last night, and we will hear from the winners of our big contest from yesterday. All that and more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's sunny once again here in the Yorkton area today. Can we expect these conditions to continue for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, it looks like there's not much change at all in our forecast. There's a cold front dropping through this afternoon, and what that's doing today as far as making things different is kicking up the wind. The front itself has now pushed south of us. It's a gusty northerly wind behind the front, but it's going to be gusting over 40 kilometers per hour at times, at least for the next little while. The wind will settle back down later in the day and through tonight, but at least for the early part of the afternoon, it's going to be rather breezy. Temperature coming up a little below normal. 14, certainly not bad for this time of year. Normal high 16, so we're just short today. The wind, though, while wind chill not really a factor, certainly not making it feel that warm. Tonight, as the wind comes down and a mainly clear sky and dry air, those are the conditions for cooling, and we're going to be close to the freezing mark. And as I've been noting for basically the duration of this pattern that we've been in and would likely stay in through the week, we are above freezing most of the night. But we get those couple of hours toward morning where we drop just a little below, and we'll do it again tonight. Could even do it tomorrow. I'm thinking closer to zero tomorrow, but still, you know, that's easily within a small margin of error, a degree or so, and we're at or below freezing tomorrow night. So tonight we'll say minus two. The wind will come down, and that helps that cooling. The dew point stays low, so it's pretty dry air through the afternoon as it sits down between minus five and minus 10 most of the time. The humidity is low this afternoon. It's in the 20% range, and it's close to that tomorrow, too. 14 the high tomorrow, very similar day. The difference, the wind, much lighter wind tomorrow. There may be a few gusts during the afternoon, and that's because the back edge of the same system dropping through today starts to lift back toward us. It pushes into southeastern Alberta and then sort of slides across southwestern Saskatchewan later tomorrow night and into Saturday. The wind will pick up even further tomorrow night and Saturday as the system goes by, but it looks like the moisture is going to remain to our southwest. Going to get close, impressively close. It's just not going to get here. There's a strong ridge of high pressure that is anchored effectively from northern Alberta, northern Saskatchewan, southward to about South Carolina. And it's this large stretch of high pressure that the storm is working against, so it swings in and then drops straight southeastward. So Yorkton area and points north and east miss it. We'll get likely some clouds coming into southern sections, but the precipitation should miss us. Down to zero tomorrow night with that high cloudiness, partly to mostly sunny on Saturday. 14 will not warm up much. The warm air is really trapped behind that, so the same thing that's keeping us dry is keeping us from warming up much, but we're still near normal. 13 on Sunday, mostly sunny, and then we start to open up that warmer air Monday, mostly sunny. 16.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at 5 degrees, Swan River 9, Dauphin, Show Lake, Russell, and Roblin 11, Brandon 13. Regina is at 15 degrees, Saskatoon, Broadview, Mooseman 13, Hudson Bay 8, Indian Head 14, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 10. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a north wind at 22, gusting to 39 kilometers an hour. 27% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 12 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 14 degrees and dropped to a low of minus 8 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 16 degrees. The normal low is plus 3 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 5:13 this morning, and it will set at 8:20 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Swan River at 14 degrees. The cold spot Dauphin at minus 10. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Meadow Lake at 18 degrees. The cold spot was Key Lake at minus 12 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will return in 1 minute's time. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The first weekly Saskatchewan crop report was released today. Saskatchewan Agriculture Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says spring seeding is well underway.
Seeding is actually ahead of the five-year average. We're sitting at 9% right now, and the average for this time of year is usually 6%. So we're actually we're rolling pretty good, and I expect next week the percentage to jump quite a bit.
And why is that? Do you expect weather conditions to improve?
Yeah, the forecast going forward into this weekend and the beginning of next week is warm. So that means, you know, all those cold soils that guys haven't been seeding into will have drills in them. So,
can you give us a region by region breakdown of seeding progress here in Saskatchewan?
Yeah, for sure. The Southwest region is leading the province. It has 19% of the crop seeded as of today. 11% is in the Southeast, 6% in the West Central, 5% in the East Central, 5% in the Northwest, and then last but not least, 2% in the Northeast.
Has there been any rainfall reported over the past week?
In the past week, there's been some light precipitation with the Porcupine Plain area in the northeast region receiving the most. They received 22 millimeters of rain over the past week. So they're sitting a little bit better than the rest of the province. But there's been scattered rainfall throughout the east central and west central areas as well. But we definitely need some more rain going forward.
How is topsoil moisture across the province?
For both cropland and hay or pasture land, very little is surplus, so there's very little surplus moisture. The majority is either adequate or short, with a smaller percentage being very short. So there's enough water or enough moisture in the soil to germinate seed, but past, it won't support enough growth without timely rains.
Has there been any reports of winter kill in fall seeded crops?
There has been, mainly due to the poor snow coverage we had. You know, the ground needs to freeze for the seed to germinate and grow the next following season. And you know, that just didn't happen with the snow coverage we had. Plus, you know, the moisture levels are low, and just the cool spring we had. Just we haven't seen a lot of growth yet. So going forward the next couple weeks, the assessments will be done. Producers will see how much damage or, reseeding that might have to be done in the next couple weeks.
Do you expect significant seeding progress over the next week then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I expect seeding to pick up, and then with the warmer weather, weeds will start to start growing and get out of the ground and emerge. So spraying will definitely pick up as well if the weeds emerge.
Matt Struthers is a crops extension specialist with the Saskatchewan Agriculture Department based in Moose Jaw. It's now 12:27 in Saskatchewan, 1:27 in Manitoba, and it's time for the AgriView portion of our program. That's a presentation of People's Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, AgriView.
The ICE Futures canola market continued its months-long upward trajectory during the week ended yesterday, hitting fresh contract highs in many months as tight old crop supplies and weather uncertainty for the new crop kept speculators on the buy side. While selling was starting to come forward to temper gains in the new crop months, the outlook for the old crop months remains uncertain. Statistics Canada releases its stocks as of March 31st report tomorrow. The report will likely show confirmation of the tightening stock situation and was likely contributing to the nearby strength. Dryness across the prairies was also supportive, although there was some rain in the forecast for Alberta, while general seeding was also progressing. Meanwhile, palm oil values seasonally move lower at this time of year, which could also pressure values if end users look for alternative vegetable oils. With the next supply and demand estimates from the U.S. Department of Agriculture a week away, broker Ryan Etner provided his outlook on the report. He says soybean exports have been good enough to meet the USDA's expectations, but maybe not enough to adjust any of their numbers, adding there's likely to be little change to the soybean carryout in the May estimates. In April, the USDA pegged soybean exports for the 2020-2021 marketing year at nearly 62.1 million metric tons in its World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimates and called for ending stocks of more than 3.2 million metric tons. At about 55.5 million metric tons, U.S. soybean exports were 64.2% ahead of those at the same time in 2019-2020, according to the department's most recent export inspections report, and well within reach of exceeding projections. Etner says U.S. corn exports have been quite strong as well during the current marketing year. To date, almost 43.4 million metric tons have been shipped, putting exports at a remarkable 82.4% ahead of those in 2019-2020. He predicted the USDA will slightly increase corn exports by 1.2 million to 2.5 million metric tons while leaving a lower old crop carryout. As for wheat, he noted the last few world agricultural supply and demand estimates have been quite neutral, and he expects the May report to follow suit. Should the spring wheat growing areas of the U.S. receive sufficient rain this spring and summer, then those wheat projections could be revised. April estimates from the International Grains Council forecast U.S. soybean production in 2021-22 to reach 120.8 million metric tons, with exports of 59.3 million and ending stocks of 3.2 million. The council projected U.S. corn production to be 379.5 million metric tons, with exports of 62.5 million and ending stocks of 34 million. The council also predicted U.S. wheat production to be 51.1 million metric tons, with exports at 25 million and ending stocks at 21.1 million. The Keystone Agricultural Producers Board of Directors has announced that Brenna Mahoney is the new general manager of CAP, effective June 14th of this year. Mahoney has contributed to and built national coalitions and partnerships focused on advancing grain nutrition and health, farm practices, market access, public trust, and sustainability. Before joining Manitoba's CAP, Mahoney was the Director of Communications and Stakeholder Relations for Cereals Canada. She was also a steering committee member for the Canadian Roundtable for Sustainable Crops and supported the development of the Roundtable's Code of Practice. Mahoney is a board member for the Canadian Agricultural Hall of Fame and Farmers Abroad Canada. She was formerly chair of the Healthy Grains Institute. She holds a bachelor's degree in human ecology from the University of Manitoba and a certificate in human resource management from Red River College. And that's the Ag Review portion of our program. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return in 2 minutes' time.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's sunny and 12 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Saskatchewan's agriculture minister is happy to see seeding well underway in much of the southern part of the province, but David Merritt says soil moisture remains a concern.
Well, it's nice to see the numbers where they are, about 9% across the provinces. And obviously we know that the southwest and south across the south will be the higher percentage, and then obviously on the west side as well. So by the numbers we're seeing, we're above the five-year average, but it's nice to see the farmers rolling and getting going. I know parts of the province are obviously worried about some moisture and need some moisture, but we're always hopeful we'll get the rain at the right time, and once again, we'll hope we'll get some rain here soon.
I was surprised to see that there was some moisture recorded in the past week.
Yeah, I was too. When I saw that up in the northeast, they got some nice rains, and it'll help them get her going too. But, you know, talking to some of the farmers in, you know, around my area, they're saying the moisture is good. The crops, it's actually real nice for seeding, so it's going in nice. Some guys are well on their way. Some are, you know, half done, and some are getting, even by the weekend, could be almost wrapped up. So it's moving right along.
And apparently there was some winter kill in some fall seeded crops.
Yeah, I see that. Obviously, you know, with the lack of snow and the cold weather, you do have that winter kill, whether it's fall rye or winter wheat. It's always concerning, and I'm sure the farmers are assessing whether they're going to, you know, burn it off and reseed, or whether they're going to see that there's still enough there to salvage a decent crop out of it. So then they'll make those decisions.
On another topic, this year's Saskatchewan Agriculture Scholarship recipients were announced today. Who was the big winner?
Well, I mean, we first of all, we really want to thank all the students that are interested in agriculture and post-secondary education for the applications. And this year's theme is obviously building on public trust and really transparency in the ag sector as well. So we're always excited to see the results, whether it's video or essays. And this year's winner is a young person from Swift Current, Jesse Patzer. He will receive $4,000, and then we have three runner-ups that will receive $2,000 each as well, just to help them with their tuition. And want to take this opportunity to thank them and all the students for submitting either their videos or essays. It's good to see that kind of interest in it. It really is.
It's amazing how transparency and social media are the topics of the day.
Yeah, they really are, you know, and I had the pleasure of seeing a couple of the videos, and these young kids really put some good work into it, and it's pretty awesome to see their interest in telling their story, and I think it's a good way to do it. When you have young kids like this telling of how they grow their food, how they grow their livestock, what they do with it, and how they treat it and everything like that is absolutely incredible, and I think these are the stories, and these are the young people that are going to tell the story to the world. That is what we're doing here is in the right manner. It really is, and I'm very proud to sponsor this and work with this program. And we have a committee within the ministry that goes through all the applications and select it down. And want to congratulate the winners again this year.
Some of the topics were about growing consumer awareness concerning food and production.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I think in, you know, with COVID and everything happening, a year ago, I think we saw a lot of that. People were really concerned about food, the supply of food, where it was grown, how it's grown, and in a safe manner. And it just seemed to rise to a level that I've never seen before when people were very concerned about food. And I mean, obviously we know why, when we saw what we did. And I think it's just finally highlighted a reality of just everybody really wants to know how their food is grown and where it's grown. And we're seeing that even globally with companies as well. They're looking at Canadian farmers, they're looking at Western Canadian farmers on how we grow our food in an environmentally sustainable way, the high quality food we're growing, the consistency in the quality of the product is also becoming a huge factor. So we're seeing a lot of things play into, you know, to what the customer is looking for in their food.
The runner-up scholarship winners include Jessica Davey from southwest of Saskatoon, Sarah Whitenecht of Saskatoon, and Kylage McNally of Bethune, who each received $2,000 in agriculture scholarships. It's now 12:40 in Saskatchewan, 1:40 in Manitoba. That means it's time for the livestock market conditions. They're a presentation of Heartland Livestock in Yorkton.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 115.47 today. That's up 105. August live cattle closed at 118.47, up 75. August feeder cattle closed at 143.40, down 182. September feeder cattle closed at 145.55, down 192. June lean hogs closed at 114.47, that's up 5. July lean hogs closed at 114.65, that's up 17. That's your livestock market conditions. Now it's time for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton. And welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Yesterday, the federal government announced it will more than double the Youth Employment and Skills Program to $21.4 million, which will fund about 2,000 jobs for youth in the agriculture sector. Here is Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau.
The goal is to give young people job experience, as well as a taste of the exciting career opportunities that are out there in our agriculture and food industry. Employers can cover up to half of the cost of hiring a young person, up to $14,000. And coverage rises to 80% for hiring young people facing barriers to employment, including Indigenous youth.
The program also covers 100% of relocation costs for the young person, up to a maximum of $5,000. Eligible employers include producers, agribusinesses, industry associations, provincial governments, Indigenous organizations, and research facilities. A feedlot operator in southern Alberta was one of the employers who hired young people last year under the Federal Youth Employment and Skills Program. This program supports agri-food employers by covering a portion of their wage to give young people between the ages of 15 and 30 the opportunity to work in the ag sector. Ryan Casco is the general manager of a family-owned cattle feedlot and irrigated farm at Coaldale near Lethbridge, Alberta. He hired two young women during last year's program.
We were impressed with their enthusiasm and willingness to learn. And one of them was a young Mennonite girl who had not worked on a farming situation before. And she did such a great job. And not only was she working on our farm, but she was finishing her high school diploma and volunteering at the local fire department. So we're just proud to have someone like that working for us. The other one has decided to attend college taking agriculture. So the program really has reinforced our belief that you do not need to grow up on a farm to work on a farm.
Casco talks about training feedlot employees who have little or no farming background.
Training, particularly around safety, is one of the main things that we do on our farm when a young person starts, because we're working with animals that are sometimes fast and unpredictable and large. Quite often they're working with equipment like wheel loaders or feed trucks or bobcats. So a lot of our training is centered around how to use equipment properly and safely. It's something that is particularly concentrated in the first couple months that someone works for us, but ongoing we work with our veterinarians and nutritionists to continue training people so that they understand why we do what we do and make them confident in how they're executing their tasks.
There are a variety of tasks to do on a feedlot.
Usually when we hire someone to work on our feedlots, they are helping us process new cattle coming into the lot, which includes giving vaccinations. We weigh them. We enter data into our computer system, and they'll do things like put bedding out for the cattle throughout the winter. And then fun things like cleaning water bowls and shoveling feed bunks and other character building things like fixing fences. So it's a really broad-based experience that they have when they first come. And once they get a little bit more comfortable, we might put them into a feed truck where they learn how to do that or become a cowboy. And some of them will even learn to ride horses and check cattle.
Casco goes on to say,
with our experience in this program, that both of the young women that worked for us were pretty adept at doing administrative type work too. So when we were shipping cattle, they were filling paperwork out and emailing the owners on what we were shipping. So yeah, it was great to have those fresh ideas, especially people that are tech savvy. They are really helpful to me because they can teach me a few things.
Ryan Casco is the general manager of a family-owned cattle feedlot and irrigated farm at Coaldale near Lethbridge, Alberta. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return right after these messages. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Our week one winners of the spring edition of GX 94 Supper in the Field were the Ford family from just east of Yorkton. Cameron Ford was our winner, but it was his dad, Glenn, who entered him. I asked Glenn about their farm operation last night.
We grain farmed about 4,600 acres. We dairy farmed until October of 2018. We sold out the dairy and just focusing on grain farming. And I farm with my brother and my son. We farm about 4,600 acres, I guess, wheat, barley, oats, and canola.
Have you done any seeding yet?
Yes, we're done the wheat and barley, and probably by tomorrow or the next day we should be done the oats, and then we're going to have to wait for the canola because it's just too cold to seed canola yet, so, and dry too. So,
do you have any cattle as well?
My brother and my niece, they got 17 cow-calf pairs at the, I guess, recreational play around with or whatever.
What do you think about grain and oilseed prices right now?
Well, everything actually looks pretty good, to be honest with you. And, you know, we locked some prices in maybe a little too soon for new crop and stuff. And if we can grow the crop, I think we'll do pretty good this year. But we need the rain to cooperate for us and stuff. So
your farm has been pretty dry?
Oh, it's crazy dry. We've been seeding stuff that we've never seeded. Maybe we've got close to seeding some of that stuff June, and we seeded right through it, and we've never seen it this dry. So my dad said 61 was bad. He actually had to go up to Aaron, that's north of Campsack, to bale straw that year, and he said it's just about that dry this year, he thinks.
Was it a shock to you and the family that you won supper in the field?
No, it was kind of a surprise when I heard that my son Cameron won. I kind of entered for him yesterday, and he was kind of a little bit shell-shocked this morning, I guess you could say.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Well, I'd just like to thank GX94 and all the sponsors for bringing this supper in the field. I would very much appreciate it. I'm glad you guys do that spring and fall. It's appreciated by all the families you bring it out to, I'm sure. So, and we need rain, definitely need rain, so sooner the better. We're not going to last until mid-June like we did last year. There's no subsoil moisture this year.
Our winners of GX94 Supper in the Field yesterday were Glenn and Cindy Ford and their sons Jordan and Cameron, who are now fifth-generation farmers. And has been in the case since last spring, our delivery of the food and prizes followed all COVID-19 protocols. Our sponsors for GX94 Supper in the Field are KFC in Yorkton, Smith Steel in Yorkton, Yorkton Ag and Auto Supply, Razor's Pub and Razor Cellar at the Yorkton Hotel, as well as Coors Light and Pattison Liquid Systems. It's now 12:52 in Saskatchewan, 1:52 in Manitoba, and it's time for the Commodities Update. And that's a presentation of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Bridge City Realty Agent.
Commodities Update.
canola futures haven't closed for the day just yet. July canola trading at $963.50. That's up $30 per metric ton. November canola trading at $761.60, up $21.20 per metric ton. July Minneapolis wheat also hasn't closed for the day just yet. It's at $7.90.75, up 8.75 cents. Everything else has closed. July Kansas City wheat closed at $7.26.75, up 9.75 cents. July Chicago wheat closed at $7.53.5, up 8.75 cents. July corn closed at $7.18.75, up 10.25 cents. July soybeans closed at $15.69.5, up 27.25 cents. July oats closed at $4.18.75, up 1.75 cents. And that is the commodities update.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Manitoba government is launching an online public engagement to seek feedback on the priorities and future direction of Manitoba's agriculture and agri-food industry. Building on previous engagement, the province is seeking Manitobans' thoughts on the priorities and future direction of Manitoba's agriculture and agri-food industry. This information will support preparation for the upcoming federal, provincial, territorial ministers of agriculture meeting, where the next agricultural policy framework priorities and policy statement will be set. Manitoba Agriculture and Resource Development is seeking to better understand Manitobans' experiences with the Ag Action Manitoba program, thoughts on existing Ag Action Manitoba priority areas, and thoughts on new and emerging issues and opportunities in the sector. To take part in the engagement, you can visit engagemb.ca, and the deadline for public feedback is coming up on May 27th. A unique new app developed by University of Saskatchewan researchers offers agricultural landowners tailored information about the carbon offset value of planting shelter belts, a tool that could help reduce the carbon footprint of farming and potentially put a little extra money in farmers' pockets. Since the dirty 30s, shelter belts have been used to protect crops from wind, prevent soil erosion, and help retain moisture, which increases crop yield. But now field shelter belts are being removed to make room for larger agricultural equipment and more crop production. What some farmers may not realize is that the trees, roots, and soil of shelter belts sequester enormous amounts of CO2 from the atmosphere. The free online app was developed by a large multidisciplinary team of climate scientists, economists, soil scientists, and computer scientists who were granted $1.4 million by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in 2018 as part of an effort to reduce greenhouse gases in agriculture. In its latest climate change action plan, the Saskatchewan government is proposing to pay farmers for storing carbon, not just charging agricultural producers for emitting carbon into the atmosphere. The new app helps landowners calculate how much carbon will accumulate in trees planted in shelter belts under changing climatic conditions, and determine how much their shelter belts are worth in carbon offset value under the carbon tax system. It also includes a planning tool that shows the best type of trees to grow in various areas of the province and provides users with planting guidelines to ensure their new trees thrive. The researchers calculate that a quarter section long shelter belt of carragana or shrub planted today would be worth the roughly $1,900 by 2050, and a three-row farmyard shelter belt surrounding a homestead with carragana, white spruce, and green ash would be worth about $5,300 in carbon offset value by 2050. And a five-row farmyard shelter belt surrounding a homestead with carragana, white spruce, green ash, Manitoba maple, and hybrid poplar would be worth about $11,700. Based on years of scientific knowledge gathered by researchers, the app conveys the information in a way that is easy to navigate and understand from the user's point of view. To access the app, simply visit www.shelterbelt-sk.ca. Once again, that website, www.shelterbelt-sk.ca. And of course, when it comes to GX on Agriculture, it's always available on podcast. Listen to past shows whenever you want. Find them easily by going to gx94radio.com. Also, you can hear the podcast on your Amazon Echo. Just enable the GX94 skill and choose GX on Agriculture. And yes, it is free. It's now 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Mainly sunny, winds north at 15 to 25, gusting higher at times, and a high of 14 degrees. For tonight, mainly clear, winds east-southeast at 10 to 20, a low of minus 2. For tomorrow, partly to mainly sunny, winds east-southeast at 10 to 20, and a high of 14. For Saturday, partly to mainly sunny, winds east at 15 to 30, also a high of 14. Sunday, mainly sunny, a high of 13, and Monday, mainly sunny, a high of 16. In the Paw, it's 5 degrees, Swan River is at 9, Dauphin, Show Lake, Russell, and Roblin are at 11, Brandon 13. Regina reporting in at 15, Saskatoon, Broadview, Mooseman 13, Hudson Bay 8, Indian Head 14, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington 10. The Yorkton, Melville region has a sunny sky, a north wind at 22, gusting to 39 kilometers an hour. 27% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 12 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, a Harvard radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.